I hope you got your Bible. Turn to Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. You know, we older ones know that these are really good times we're living in. Good times, really, really. I remember in 1981, I was up in Greenville, South Carolina, trying to find a job in a cotton mill so I could go to Bible college at Tabernacle Bible College. The mills were all closing down. I couldn't even find a job. And at that time, there were at least six cotton mills in Greenville. And I couldn't find a job. And I was so discouraged. And now, you can quit a job today and have a new one tomorrow. Of course, things got better and then worse and better and then worse. But even in good times, people suffer. And you're either on a mountaintop or going down into the valley or going back up on a mountaintop. It's hardly ever you just, sis, we know what you're talking about. Right now, you're going down one side, but don't get discouraged. You'll go up the other side pretty soon. Amen. The valley, everybody suffers. Nobody's immune from suffering. I don't care who you are. Money is not an inoculation against suffering. Amen? Nobody's immune. A good family doesn't make you immune. Even a good church will not make you immune from suffering. Man's days are few and full of trouble, he said. And so as Job suffered, the whole book of Job can give us some understanding of suffering. And we'll read that in just a minute. But people ask me sometimes, say, well, preacher, why would God allow suffering?
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know. He's God. God can do anything he wants to. But there's a reason for everything he does. He's sovereign. He's in control. And Job suffered, but only because God allowed it. If God hadn't taken the hedge down, the old devil couldn't have got to him. God allowed it, and in the end, it made Job better, not bitter. And it's easy to get bitter, not better, when you suffer. And some people carry the scars, and they carry the memories, and they never get over it. They just never get over it. And some don't know how. Most of us in this room had some hard times in our life. I have. And people look at me, you know, especially when I used to sell insurance down around Chester, you know, those folks thought I was a doctor or something sometimes. Went to a restaurant one time, a little Vietnamese man said, "You doctor?" I said, "No, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor." He said, "You look like doctor." I said, "Well, thank you, but I'm not a doctor." "Well, what do you do?" I said, "I'm a Baptist pastor." He said, "Oh, you have lots of money." I said, "No, I'm a Baptist pastor." No matter what we look like, you don't ever know what somebody's going through. You know, you never know. And in Job chapter 6, verse 2, "But Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up." In other words, he didn't feel like his words were going anywhere. And his life was so burdened, he felt so weighed down, he felt like wet sand. You ever picked up a bucket of wet sand? That's some heavy stuff. And he was weighed down, and he suffered. And what should happen is suffering ought to prompt us to trust God more, not less. Put more faith in God, not... don't draw back, draw nine to God, and he'll draw nine to thee, James says. But the trouble is, most people, when they go into suffering, they'll run away. And they won't draw nine to God, they'll draw nine to something or someone else other than God. And that never works. There's all kinds of suffering, all kinds of sources for suffering. It's a reality. We live in a broken world. It started in the Garden of Eden. It's been broken ever since. And the flood came and washed it away. Then it started all over and got broken as soon as Noah got off the boat. It got broken all over again, started all over. Sometimes it's because of sinful or foolish choices people make. Maybe me or you, maybe someone else that's involved with us. It's just silly and sinful choices that others or we make cause suffering. That's the truth. And then sometimes it's just, let's just be honest, it's a satanic attack. He fires those fiery darts at you. And let me tell you something. God has a plan for every one of us, but the devil has an alternate plan. And if you'll do it, he'll get you on the other plan. Amen? And so it might be the plan of God himself. We always like to quote Romans chapter 8, but maybe you ought to read Romans chapter 9. Sometimes God plans up trouble for our lives. I'll tell you how to destroy a child. Every time they get in trouble, rescue them. You need to let that young learn how to trust something other than you, because you're going to be dead and gone one day. I told a lady standing in that hall one Sunday morning, she was telling me about all these people she takes care of. I said, what are they going to do when you're dead and gone? She said, I guess they're going to starve to death. I said, they will, because you made them lazy. They don't know how to work. Hello. And so God has a plan, but the devil has a worse plan. And if you don't watch out, then you will end up, instead of going through that abundant life, you'll go through a burden life. A lot of Christians are going through a burden life, not the abundant life. And they suffer every day because of bad choices or because of the world that is around them, the people they have to live around, or because of God has allowed it. We all suffer, everybody. And it's coming springtime. We think about spring, everything's new and beautiful. Yeah, but there's still people in the hospital. There's still people down there at the rehab, amen? There's still people down there on the street corner buying dope. The liquor store's still open. There's heartbreak everywhere you look. The sun's shining and the birds are singing, but we live in that world full of sin and suffering. And what we need to do is draw nigh to God, every one of us. You get real close to him, the devil can't get you. See? And the devil's folks can't either, amen? And now, when you suffer, turn to Job chapter 1, verse 20. Job chapter 1, verse 20. Look at verse 20, 21, 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. Amen. And fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Amen. He's suffering, he's doing this. This is what drove him. Suffering drove him to this. I mean, he had it made. He had houses and lands and cattle and abundance of things and fine, healthy family. And as soon as the devil was allowed to take all that away, he fell on his face. Amen. And he worshiped God. Now, I tell people, when you get saved, it's usually on your face. Amen. When you get right with God, it's usually on your face. It ain't up jumping around and running and clapping and hollering. Staying close to God is work sometimes. It ain't all rejoicing. Now, there's a time to rejoice. There's a time to clap. There's a time to have a good time. But old Job, he fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In other words, he didn't say, why me, God? Why'd you do this to me, Lord? Somebody else deserved it worse than I did. No, sir. He rejoiced. He fell on his face. He worshiped. He stood up. He said, naked I came. I came with nothing. I'll leave with nothing. Amen. Yeah. Right. Every funeral I ever preached, they left with nothing except the clothes that somebody put on them. Amen. They didn't even put them on. They came in naked. You'll leave out naked. Amen. Now, when you suffer, when you're getting in trouble and you're starting to suffer, the first thing to do is worship God. Amen. Turn to him. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Call on the name of the Lord. Right. Yes. Hey, turn to him. And not everybody's going to understand that. Not everybody's going to understand that. And so then, in Job 13, I want you to notice what Job said. Turn to Job 13. Now, I know it's getting close to the death, burial, and resurrection, and Easter and all that, but I thought maybe this would be a good Wednesday night for the folks that's serious about it. You know, you got, we'll have the Easter lilies here in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk about the resurrection. Amen. But look what happened in Job chapter 13, verse 23. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? Oh my goodness. Wow. He's telling the Lord, he said, Lord, show me what I've done. Reveal to me my iniquities. Don't treat me like an enemy. Treat me like a son that you're correcting. Like Hebrews chapter 12. The Lord chasteneth those whom he loves. Amen?
Amen.
It wasn't like me growing up. Some of you probably grew up the same way. We didn't know the rules till we broke them. Then we got cussed at. And hit at and hollered at. Amen?
Yeah.
They didn't sit down one day and say, now here's the rules. But if you ever broke one, they said, come here, boy. You're getting a beating. Or they'd holler and cuss and fuss and say, I didn't know. We all know better. Job says, show me my iniquity. Show me my sins. And that's the way we'll be. Say, Lord, if I have any sin, reveal it to me. Any unconfessed sin, forgive me, Lord. Amen. We need to tell God how you feel about it. Tell him. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. If I've done something wrong, Lord, show me my iniquity. Show me my sin so I can deal with it. And he wants you to do that. And some people never pray that. Amen? They never pray that. And then turn back to Job chapter 2 after that. Here's what you need to do. In Job chapter 2, and some of you really, some folks ain't here tonight. They only come on Sunday morning, really need to hear this one. Job chapter 2, verse 11. Job chapter 2, verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard all of this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they didn't even recognize him. They lifted up their voice and they wept. They started crying out loud for him. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust on their heads toward heaven. That was sign, the Jews did that as a sign of remorse. And they were talking about being the dust of the earth. You know, they were made out of dirt. And he was showing God that they realized who they were, see. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and look at this, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Well, you ever had a friend like that? That's that old saying, real friends walk in when everybody else walks out. Well, I've been through times. Just thought I didn't have a friend left in the world, and then all of a sudden somebody knocked at the door. Oh my goodness. I said, oh good glory to God, I'm glad you came. And they just sit there and let you talk. They didn't come in and say, what'd you do? They didn't say, is what I heard true? They didn't do that. They just come in and sat. And I want you to notice how long they sat. 7 days and 7 nights. And didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. You know, a lot of times you don't have to say anything. You just need to be there for people. Just be there. When somebody dies and people are in their mourning, you don't have to go over there and tell them you know how they feel. You don't know how they feel. It wasn't your daddy. It wasn't your mom. It wasn't your wife, your husband, your child. It was theirs. You do not know how they feel. Just go over there and sit there and say, I'm here for you. You ain't got to say nothing. Just be in there. Hug their neck, cry with them. Amen. Christians don't do that kind of stuff anymore. They don't. If you're sick, they lock you off in the hospital. Nobody comes to see you. I remember when old Jason Coley got sick. There's so many people in that room, you couldn't even get in there. They had to run them out and start taking appointments to go in there to see him. You remember that, sister? There's so many people in there. But Christians don't want to do that anymore. And when somebody dies, we've sanitized sickness, shut them up in the hospital or the nursing home. And then when they die, we've sanitized death. There is not a funeral home anymore. It's a mortuary now. And they hide them off down there at Green's Mortuary. And a lot of times they don't even show the body anymore. I've known people that died and they didn't even have a funeral for them. Didn't even have a funeral. Cremated them, put their ashes in some kind of little vase, stuck it up on the mantle, and didn't even have a funeral for them. Or take their ashes down at the river or the ocean somewhere and throw it in like the person would even know that. That's not comforting. We need to get back to this simple, plain old be there for people when they're suffering. Avoid all those theological answers you got. You don't know. I don't know. People come up to me, you know, and so sick or suffering or something. They say, "Why, preacher, why do you think that's happening?" I said, "I don't know. I don't have a theological answer for that. Go talk to God. All I can do is love them. Amen? And have sympathy. And be there for them. Help them see. Here. Want to help people see that our suffering is filtered through the Father's hand. Yes. Jesus said, "You're in my hand. My hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out." Anything that goes through to us has to go through the Father's hand first. So you say, "Lord, I don't understand this, but I know you allowed it. So I'm just going to do whatever I've got to do to get through this. I'm just going to trust you. Amen. If you slay me, I'll trust you." Yep. Amen? Amen? And tell others that too. So I don't know, but I can tell you this. It came through the Father's hand or it couldn't have got to you in the first place. Now, I'm talking about believers. Amen. Sinners usually just getting what they deserve, but for believers. And then I want to encourage them. Point them toward God, not Dr. whatever the last doctor's name is on television. Dr. Phil, Dr. Peel, Dr. Bill, Dr. Judy, Dr. Jane, whoever the latest quack is on television. By the way, I looked up Dr. Phil one day. His degree is not in psychology. It's in architecture or something. I forgot what it is, mechanical something. I thought, no wonder he sounds so dumb. But anyway... Here's what you need to do. Here's how we all look at suffering. Turn to Job 19. Job 19. Here's, man, I'm going fast tonight. Turn to Job 19. And it's hard to, my fingers ain't working good today. Look at verse 25. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Amen. That's faith. Here's a man eat up with boils and sores, and he's lost his children, he's lost his cattle, his home. His wife looked at him and said, "Won't you just cuss God and die?" Some hypocrite friends done come around, and he said, "But I know that my Redeemer liveth, the one that bought him." God ain't dead. That's what he's saying. God's not dying. It might look like, but God's not dead. Amen. And he said, "Yet in my flesh shall I see God." He said, "One day I'm going to see him in this body. It's not going to be after I'm dead and gone, but I'm going to see him in this flesh." And then he says this, "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." And now he's looking forward to the resurrection. He said, "I'm going to see God. God's alive and well. And I'm going to see him with these eyes, not somebody else who's not some preacher that told me how God looks, not my grandma that told me how God looks, but I'm going to see God myself with these eyes right here in a resurrected body. After worms have eaten this body, he's going to give me a new body and new eyes, And finally, I'll see it all clearly. Amen? You need to view your suffering through eternity. You don't view right now. Now, right now is bad if you're suffering. I know that. But the suffering right now, look, I preached a sermon one time. I may do it again. This is not a bomb. It's just a test. Amen? Y'all remember that? Y'all remember at night, they'd interrupt your TV program, that thing would go, ee! And you'd sit there. And then it'd go off, and they'd say, this has been a national emergency broadcast system. This was not a bomb. It was only a test. And I wondered, well, what would they have done if it was a bomb? That's frightening enough. Amen? That's the way you feel when you're suffering. You think, well, it may not look like the end, but it sure feels like the end. But remember, the sun's coming up in the morning. There's a new day every day. God, hey, I don't care what the climate change clea huggers say. The sun's coming up tomorrow just like it did today and the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. And you will get through this one too by the grace of God. A week from now, it won't be the way it is today. People get all wrapped up in the moment. They don't look at eternity. Even Christians. We're eternal beings. We shouldn't look at the moment. Yeah, it's bad right now. It hurts, broken heart, disappointed, betrayed, whatever. But we'll look at, but is it going to be like this next week? No. Remember, God knows why. Job answered that one too. Job 42. Look at Job 42. Excuse me. Look at verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Now you see, the ultimate thing is this. God knows the why. Now sometimes we say we know, but it's like Job said, we really don't know. We're just making this stuff up as we go along. Sometimes people tell me something, I just want to say, are you stupid? I want to say, who told you that? And I have said, you didn't find that in the Bible. Amen? And if you didn't find it in the Bible, you can't trust it. I don't care who said it. Amen? Let God be true and every man a liar, he said. Now look at 42 again. Look at verse 4. I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of thee. Now mine eye seeth thee. He said, now look, I finally see it. I know, I see why I'm suffering. If you'll trust God and keep looking to him, pretty soon it'll be revealed to you. God will reveal himself to you and why you're going through. And by the way, most time it's no secret. We already know. Right. And it's usually our own fault. Say amen right there. Amen. 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 God is trying to give us places in our life where we can grow and we can mature. There's never been a kid that didn't want a dog that I know of. But you get them one, and then they don't feed it. They don't comb it. They don't run behind it with a little plastic bag and a scooper duper. And the day that I do, it'll be a cold day where the booger band's going. But... I'm not going to be the tail of a dog. I'm not going to do it. I see people running along the park. who's the master? Who's the master? But every little kid wants a dog until they got to go in the bedroom and clean that carpet. Amen. Every kid wants a dog until they got to feed it at night before they go to bed. Amen. We want things, but we really don't know what we want. And sometimes it takes suffering to see what we really need. Amen. Amen. How many men, old men, I can say that, I'm old, I'll be 65 in a week. Listen, what'd you say? Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. Listen, you see these old men, turn 65 to go buy a 2,000 pound Harley Davidson. Lord, that woman you give me. Stay out of my preach. That's why a woman's supposed to remain silent in church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm trying to be serious here, okay? Here's where we were. That kayak weighs 65 pounds. That Harley Davidson, I can't hold up. I met a guy one time. He said he's dropped his Harley Davidson on himself 3 times. And had to have somebody help him get out from under. You ever heard of that, Belinda? You know what I said? How many times does it make you realize you ain't got no sense? Why would you do that? But we'll mature as we get older. And sometimes the only way people mature is they have to have a little suffering.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, Job, we just read it. Verse 6, wherefore I bore myself and repent in dust and ashes. He's been defending himself for 41 chapters. He's been saying, I have done nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't know why I'm going through this, but I'm going to trust God anyway. And finally he realizes his self-righteousness and his pride had gotten in. All that was caused by self-righteousness. Got him in trouble. And he repents. And when he repents, he realizes what happened in Job chapter 40. Look at verse 1. Job chapter 40, verse 1. Now you don't just wake up one day with good biblical sense. Everything in your flesh is against it. Everything in our carnal, natural flesh is against scriptural living. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? In other words, who are you to tell God what to do? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. He says, is anybody powerful enough to reprove God? He's talking about himself. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. I wish a lot of people would do that. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice. Talking about he spoke about God. But I will proceed no further. Now all that suffering, all that trial and tribulation, all that heartache, it took him a long time to realize, for Job to say, God's not the problem, I am. And God said, find me somebody that can question me. That's what God told him. He said, find somebody that can show me wrong in me. And Job said, I've done that before, once or twice, but not now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be something if a lot of Christians would just sometimes I want to say, they think they're so smart, you know. I want to say, you know, you are educated beyond your abilities.
Right.
You got a lot of worldly knowledge, but you ain't got enough spiritual sense to use it. Amen. She said, that's me. You know, hardly ever did my kids talk back to me. Now, I didn't grow up in a good home. I never had a daddy, never had a man live in the house that was anything like a daddy. Had brothers live off and on. But my mom would take a broom handle and break it over my back. Now, I fussed with her, and I went against her. I really did. But I learned by it. And I taught my children, and you can ask my wife, my children, I don't think no was in their vocabulary toward me and her for a long time. And then we started taking kids to camp after I surrendered to preach. We'd take kids, wild kids, undisciplined kids, kids, even some of them was Christians and were of Christian family. And they'd say, no, I'm not doing that. And everything that was in me would just, you told me no. Me, I'm 40 years older than you are. I'm 6'4". I weigh more than you do. I'm smarter than you are. And you told me, no, you're not going to do that. Can you imagine how God looks at it when you and I question Him? Can you imagine how God looks down at me and you when you look at God and say, no, I'm not doing that? I don't know how anybody can do that. Job learned how to fear God.
Amen.
He learned how to fear God. And by the way, you're not going to get saved until you learn how to fear God. Because you're not going to realize how good the love of God is until you realize the condemnation that you're under to fall in the hands of a fearful God, a mighty God, a judging God. Then you'll realize what grace and love is all about because He let His Son die for your sinful self in your place because you told Him no so much, His Son had to die for you. But you're not going to get saved till you see that. Job had a spiritual awakening here. And by 42, he done turned around. Chapter 42, he done turned around completely. His whole life was changed from there on. You know what he was saying? God, I'm going to submit to your sovereignty and your supremacy because you're more than I could ever be or think. You know what happened? Go back and read it. Job's suffering ended. Then God could help him then, see. See, God... What did he tell Paul when Paul was called Saul? He was running around killing Christians and taking Christians to jail. The Lord called him on that road to Emmaus and he said, why kickest thou against the pricks, the thorns, the ox goad in the end of it, big long stick in the end of it. It'd have a thorn about that long and they'd pop that old ox in the rear to make him go and pull that plow. And the Lord was telling Paul, why are you kicking against me? I'm the one hurting you. And that's when he realized it was the Lord. And he fell on his face. He wasn't such a big man anymore once he learned what the supreme God was and how sovereign he was. He realized Paul wasn't the one in control. God is.
Amen.
I've watched a lot of people suffer. I've suffered, but not near as much as I deserve.
Amen.
If I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell right now.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You would too. Don't look so shocked. If we got what we deserve today, we'd be in hell.
Yeah.
There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that seeketh God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Amen. But I know from what little suffering I've done that I shouldn't run from God. I ought to run to Him.
Amen.
And I shouldn't disagree with him. I ought to agree with him. Even if I don't like, and I won't like it. Most of the time I won't like it, right. Brother Mike. Oh, Dan, I won't like it. Won't like it, what he says. But I like it when some old leather lung preacher gets up and he says, "Thus saith the Lord!" I put you to sleep, didn't I? She said every time I yell, I put her to sleep. Usually it wakes people up. But I like it, Brother Ron, when a preacher preaches the book right at me. And he doesn't know it, but he's, hey, he's hitting that spot that's caused me to suffer before, and I like that.
Amen.
I got, had 36 stitches right there. That don't surprise you at all, does it? I was in a car wreck, and 14 years old, and had 36 stitches, flipped over in a ditch and hit my head, and took me to Lancaster emergency room, Lancaster Hospital, and they sewed me up. And for years, me and my younger brother, Donnie, a year younger than me, we'd get in fist fights, and he knew if he hit me right there, it knocked me out cold every time. It would. It knocked me out cold every time. And then for years, if I'd hit it on something, I'd see stars. You ever seen stars? And it's still tender. If you hit me right there, it hurt. But I learned something from that. My older brother Larry got on the elevator at the hospital with me after they sewed me up and they was taking me upstairs. I was in one of those hospital beds. My back was jammed. And a 14-year-old, never been to the hospital, never had nothing like that. And I'm scared to death. He gets on the elevator and his deep words of wisdom, he said, now he was about, I don't know how much older he was than me. I guess he 14, 15, no, well, 12 years older, 14 years older. He looked at me and he said, "That'd teach you to ride with youngins." I said, "Shut up." I never rode with youngins again. Amen? Now, you might be suffering. I'm not making fun of you suffering. I'm just saying, look, the sun's coming up in the morning. Why don't you draw nigh to God? Admit what you are. Ask for mercy. Ask for grace. Ask for forgiveness if you need it. Ask for deliverance. And then wait on the Lord. And He will renew your strength. I promise you He will. Every day's not going to be like that. There's going to be better days. But you got to trust Him. Amen?
Right, yes.
Let's stand. Father.